This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Many colleges and universities in Michigan are facing kind of a double whammy. They've been grappling with ways to fill the revenue hole after the state legislature cut funding for higher ed as the state's economy went into freefall. And now comes the latest challenge. High schools across the state are turning out fewer graduates. With the graduate pool shrinking, most colleges and universities are searching for ways to make up that gap. So what does this all mean for Michigan colleges and for prospective students? Well, joining us is the Director of Policy Research at the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education, Brian Prescott. And joining us from Mount Pleasant is the Director of Admissions for Central Michigan University, Thomas Speakman. Brian, I want to start with you because earlier this year, your organization released a major report called Knocking at the College Door, and it found Michigan is second only to California in the decreasing number of high school graduates. What's happening in our state?
Well, basically, our projections are they start with the number of births that happened about 18 years ago. And so what you're seeing in Michigan is a product of a number of factors. But first and foremost, it's part of a pattern that happened almost two decades ago, more or less all the way across the country. And, you know, at the end of the baby boom echoes era generation happened back then. And we've just started to see the results of that declining. But in addition to that, with all of the economic problems that have been widely reported across the country occurring in Michigan, there's been a fairly substantial exodus of folks who live there and into other parts of the country. So places in the South and places in the West most typically have been benefiting from folks leaving the state of Michigan and also other states in the Northeast. And so that's the combination of those factors are the principal reasons why the number of high school graduates in Michigan is declining.
So what I'm hearing is basically the fertility era ended for the baby boomers. So our kids are all moving out of high school. And so that has left a gap.
Right.
And the bad economy has sent people south and west. So for folks like you, Tom Speakman, whose job is to get those freshman bodies into classrooms each fall, what challenges has that presented for you at Central Michigan?
Well, certainly, Cindy and Brian, it's caused us to look outside our borders. And one of the initiatives that we're looking at expanding our geographic footprint would be to put more troops on the ground, so to speak, in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, some of the contiguous states, and actually spend more time recruiting out of state, hoping to drive students into Michigan. We're also offering academic scholarships to out-of-state students, as well as in-state tuition rates. So, for instance, a student that performs well outside of Michigan would qualify for an in-state tuition rate. We're also looking at sort of diversifying the portfolio. Veterans have been a real staple of our enrollment, and so we're looking at increasing our veteran student enrollments. Probably for the first time in quite a while, we're looking at international students. We're also trying to partner with some of the high schools with dual enrollment programs to get high school students, good high school students in 11th and 12th grade, to supplement their high school education by taking college-level coursework through CMU. Also looking at reverse transfer agreements through the community colleges, where a student would come to CMU, go back to the community college, and then come back to CMU to finish the degree. So, yes, we are challenged, but I think we're looking at the challenge as a positive opportunity and basically expanding our outreach.
Brian Prescott, from what you're seeing in your report and in your studies, how well do you think these strategies that we heard from Tom will work to help bolster the incoming freshman population?
Well, I think that one of the challenges that comes with doing that is that surrounding Michigan are a whole bunch of other states that will see their high school graduating population shrink as well. And so Michigan's just sort of got the brunt of what's going on in that part of the country, but it's now going to be competing with other institutions very much like it for the same students that is a smaller proportion of it. And it remains to be seen to what extent the admissions hysteria that has characterized the last 20 years nearly, in which every year there's been a larger number of high school graduates in virtually every state across the country. That era is just now ending. But now we might see the tables turned a little bit on the colleges, where they're now competing more heavily over the fewer students that are available using many of the same tools and techniques that Tom just mentioned. We're hearing a lot more about non-resident recruitment, international recruitment, and the like. The one thing I did hear just now that I think is real positive is outreach to the veteran community and to communities that aren't being served nearly as well as perhaps they might have been in the past. Along with all of these, the changes in just the total numbers is this rapid diversification along racial ethnic lines as well. And the fastest growing population in virtually every state is the Hispanic population. And they obviously are a group that higher education has not always been as effective at serving. And so I think one of the approaches that states and institutions are really going to have to think hard about is how to reach the population that is growing at particularly fast rates. And we'll see how that turns out. But many of the things that Tom just mentioned are strategies that I've heard a great deal about in the traipsing around that I do. But I should mention that, unlike Tom, I don't have the responsibility of actually making all of these numbers come out
one thing,
the balance sheet.
One thing I don't know if I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you kind of spelled out strategies, Tom Speakman, as Director of Admissions for Central Michigan University. How important would be adult students, the non-traditional students, who perhaps always harbored the hopes of getting a degree? Does that fit in the plan somewhere?
Absolutely. I think adult learners are a subset of the transfer student population. They'll also be a subset of the veteran student population. They're also a significant part of our global online community that CMU has. So I think what you're going to see is sort of a shifting in the percentage of traditional age students and adult learning students at CMU. And I would agree. That is another part. The other piece that we're looking at, and I did not mention, but Brian sort of alluded to that, reaching our Hispanic, Latino, African American population, really looking at developing strong summer bridge programs mm-hmm. so that students coming from high school that, you know, demonstrate that they can clearly successfully navigate college coursework, but need some support, need some help to get off to a good start, developing those bridge programs in the summer. And that's something we're actually discussing right now, is the size and the number of summer bridge students we want to bring to CMU.
It strikes me that many of these students, these bridge students, and when we're looking at this increased diversity, a lot of those folks don't have probably what we might say a lot of money and are going to need help. And that comes at a time when you're coping with rising college costs and less support from Lansing. So it seems that there's kind of a catch-22 at play here.
Well, I would agree. Certainly many would perhaps qualify for the Pell Grant and additional need-based financial aid supports. But you're correct. We're also going to need to develop some institutional support for those students that are coming through the bridge programs.
That was Tom Speakman, who was speaking to us, Director of Admissions for Central Michigan University. And we're also talking with Brian Prescott, who's with the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education, known as WICHE, and their report looking at the fact that there's a major decrease in the number of high school graduates, particularly here in Michigan, and what does that mean for colleges ahead. And one of the things that you say in your report is that colleges are going to have to address rising costs. Haven't they had to do that? I mean, how much do you cut before you've destroyed what makes that college special? And they've had to do that already, as Lansing's support has reduced. So, what's the solution from where you sit, Brian Prescott? Yeah,
wow.
Wave that magic wand, right?
Right. That's the $64,000 question.
Literally.
Right. So, you know, I think. I think that what we're facing a situation now in the wake of the recession, but it was coming perhaps even without having had the recessionary effects that, that we've all been trying to deal with, in which we're facing in higher education a little bit of a new normal, and there's going to be some tough adjustments to that. But it's characterized by increased pressure on the part of public policymakers and the public to generate well-qualified individuals for employment, coupled with this diversification and decline in the traditional populations that, that higher education institutions have generally served well, and with these really severe fiscal constraints that colleges and universities have had to wrestle with over the last really 15 years, but especially in the last five. In many ways, what you're hearing Tom say and what we say in our rounds is that there's going to have to be some changes to business as usual. Some of these strategies that, that Tom mentioned are principally about recruitment, but in terms of how serving students more effectively and more productively will need to change. There's been a tremendous amount of attention nationally on changing the way in which public finance makes its way to college and university budgets. There's a movement to rethink financial aid at the state level, at the federal level. I don't know to what extent that's come on any sort of coherent way to institutional aid, but I think the time is coming to think about that as well. I think one of the things that would be helpful is that, and I think one of the things we're going to struggle with, is that we've grown accustomed to, and perhaps we've grown addicted to, being able to tell our alumni and our publics, however they defined, that every year we've been able to recruit a more qualified group of students to enroll at our institutions. And I know that the institutions that are my alma maters routinely send me things that talk about rankings, and they talk about the extent to which we've that my alma maters have valedictorians and high SAT score earners and so forth. One wonders whether or not it's time to start thinking differently about how that how we measure quality, both in terms and what we want out of our public institutions, and to what extent do we want to really serve this, the residents of our state, who are going to be, on average, less well prepared by and large because the just by nature of the pool being smaller, and probably have less income on hand to be able to afford the costs of college as they go up.
How does that echo with the conversations you're having at Central, Tom Speakman?
Well, I certainly agree with everything that Brian has shared. I think one of the things that we're looking at is retention. And so certainly cost to a student having to go 5 years versus four, there's a significant savings if the student can graduate in 4 years. So one would be implementing strategies, academic advising, trimming the number of credits the student has to complete to finish a degree in 4 years would certainly save in tuition costs, moving five-year programs to four-year programs. The other piece is, quite frankly, and I know Brian touched on this as well, you know, is we're becoming more of a private school, even though we're a public institution. We're beginning to look at students not only for merit-based aid, but then look further and see what is their need. And so scholarship and financial aid packages are becoming more combined merit and need-based so that we can enroll the students with the right financial aid package. And that's sort of a private school model, so we are sort of going in that direction as well.
Could there be a winner in this competition for students among Michigan colleges and universities?
I believe the winner will be the public. Certainly, it's requiring, as Brian has shared, you know, institutions to, you know, sort of cease and desist the way they've always done business and to look to be more creative and to be more student-centered and student-focused. And to make themselves attractive to students, and not just traditional age students, multicultural students, veterans, international students, transfer students, adult learners. And so the winner, in my view, clearly will be the population that we're trying to recruit.
And Brian, your final thoughts, especially looking at what you found and realizing how greatly the high school graduation population is going to be shrinking in the next 15 years to fewer than 90,000 from our peak of 123,000 plus. Where do you see Michigan colleges and universities, let's say 20 years out as this plays out?
Well, I think first and foremost the situation facing Michigan colleges and universities is bound up in part with the state of the economy in Michigan. And so, I think part of my answer to that question would depend on to what extent Michigan's able to get its economy turned around and to have larger in-migration numbers than to reverse the pattern of people leaving, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, then, some of what Michigan public institutions are going to be going through over the next several years as they try to deal with this decline and try to change business as usual, try to change some of the rhetoric around what we think matters in higher education, I think then that puts Michigan colleges and universities well positioned to serve the public more effectively, especially as prices have risen and expectations are that folks be able to pay off the debt that they incur as they pay higher tuition prices. Michigan institutions may be better positioned if they have those conversations for students to graduate and be able to find employment in order to afford the costs that they've brought on. But I think that I'm hopeful. And part of what I'm hopeful about is that we can begin to have a more honest conversation around what it is that we want out of colleges and universities and how we want to pay for that. And instead of what we've been having, which is in large part policy drift, because we've often viewed higher education as a very private good, and we haven't considered what it really means to have a public institution serving a state public. And I think that conversation needs to be coming, and we need to have a conversation around that honestly. And in Michigan, facing the particular big declines in the traditional student population, maybe the conditions may be ripe for that kind of conversation.
That was Brian Prescott, who's the Director of Policy Research at the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education. He spoke to us today from Boulder, Colorado. And from Mount Pleasant, we were speaking to the Director of Admissions for Central Michigan University, Thomas Speakman, getting ready for a new school year. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.